It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here in the studio on this rather dreary Saturday morning. So if you're all cooped up in the house, just go to WBOB.com or through the app or turn on a radio or whatever and stick around for the hour. We've got lots going on in the market these days. I won't say it's all pretty, but it's certainly worth talking about. And we've got some opinions that might surprise some of the people. So that will happen, and we'll talk about various and sundry other things that we want to talk about, unless you decide you want to change the topic, at which time all you have to do, and we hope it works, is pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255 or 222-TALK. For those of you who have carried over from the real estate show, probably heard something that we've been fighting some touchy phone lines here this morning. So if you call and it doesn't work, just call back, keep calling. And as soon as you get through, we'll put you to the head of the line, talk about whatever you want to talk about. And that could be most anything these days. I know there's a lot of fear out there, and fear is one of those things that never serves you well when you're dealing with volatile issues of stocks and that sort of thing. So we'll try to calm you down a little bit too, and even strategize if you want to bring that up. So much to do and much to say, and some of it, you know, we're like everybody else. We know exactly what's going to happen after it happens, not before. So where this is going, we'll find out. Anyway, regulars, thanks for coming back as always, and the new people, try to stick around for an hour. You might learn something. We always promise you'll learn something. It'll maybe do you some good and maybe not, but it can't really hurt. The more you know, the better. I remind everybody there are no stupid questions, because if you don't know something, there are many other people out there who don't know that same thing. And as my research department frequently reminds me, the easier the question, the better the hosts look. So if you want to do your job the best you can do it, you call us and ask us questions that we can answer. How's that? And we always tell you, if you ask us a question that we can't answer, we will be back next week, same time, same place, and we will have the answer for you if it is at all discernible. So never fear. Now, another announcement I was going to make last week that I forgot. For the balance of this month, and all of next month, once our show is done, keep your radio on. Because for this period of time, and until that slot is filled otherwise, Dave Ramsey comes on after us. And Dave, I guess you could kind of say, is a competitor of ours. He's in the same type business, but he's certainly not a competitor of ours. What you also might not know is that he has, I think it's the third most popular radio show in America.
It's up there. I'm not sure.
Yeah, exactly. Third or fourth, like that. I mean, this guy is successful. And never forget that at one point in time, he was bankrupt.
Yep.
He changed everything he thought, did, and said, and now he's a multimillionaire.
We certainly don't agree with him on everything.
Nope.
But his general principles of paying off debt and investing for your future are right on.
And he's very entertaining. And if you can pick up a show like that after a show like this, you can probably see little differences in the way we do things. But check it out. We only got a few weeks. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, the Van Wees financial gurus of Northeast Florida and the universe. I've been away. Health is better. I've been listening, but I've not been able to call, so I'll make it really quick, 22 seconds. Both you and your brothers, transparency, professionalism, and integrity is beyond reproach. When you want to run for office, you give me a call on one of my five cell phones, and I'll make one call to Tallahassee, and I'll get you 200,000 votes for whatever you want to do, guaranteed. That's how good your credibility and integrity is, and don't change. You guys are the best of the best. I'm going to get going, so leave someone else to call in. I'll tell you what, in that hospital bed at Mayo Clinic, et cetera, when I managed to finagle to get you on the radio, even though I wasn't supposed to, but I had it in there, so that was good. And I was like, I couldn't call in, but I could listen. And wow, thank you very much. God bless you.
Well, thank you. And the one thing I would ask is that you don't hold your breath for us to run for office.
Yeah, definitely not.
You're recovering. Let's keep it that way.
Yeah, but we hope you recover, and we'll talk to you soon.
Or anything I could do, you let me know, okay?
All right, appreciate it.
Thanks.
On the other end, okay? Bye-bye.
Thank you.
So, always fun to start out that way. By the way, I'll make a quick note before we get into the market. We will have a trivia question after the break, and it has to do with one of the two very significant anniversaries that are coming up the first week in February. The biggest and by far the most important is that we start our eighth year on the radio with Van Wee Financial Hour. And then the other little one is the birth of the NASDAQ. NASDAQ is turning 51 first week in February. The trivia question will refer to that.
That's showing its age this week, too, I think.
Okay, I have put off talking about this week's market as long as I can now.
Now, one more thing before we do that. We don't have any intentions of ever running for any offices, but my friend Nick Howland is, and there is a special election coming up in Duval County for a city council position, and he is the Republican candidate, and that takes place next month, and we really need to get out and vote for Nick. He's a great guy. He's a friend of mine. I've known him for quite a few years, and I definitely think he would have the city's best interests in mind. Those two candidates that are going head-to-head, it's him versus a woman who's a Democrat. They are the only two candidates on the ballot, so it won't be a huge turnout. So every vote really counts.
Trying to get people to turn out for something that small is never easy. But remember, as long as I've been here, which is soon to be 30 years, Jacksonville has been in the balance. They swing a little left, they swing a little right. This year of all years, with things like the educational problems, we need to push this down to the right, or your children are going to suffer at your expense.
Yeah, and Jacksonville, the Duval County schools have done a great job of navigating through the pandemic so much better than so many other places, and we just need to keep that type of leadership in place, and I believe that Nick would do that. So get out and
vote. Nick Howland.
Yep.
All right, good. I appreciate that for everybody's sake. I wish I could vote in Duval, but I can't.
Yeah, and it's an at-large position, too, so it is anyone in the city can vote for it.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. This week, before the dust settled.
Yeah. So it's really easy to paint a negative picture of the economy right now, and that's been true for a while, though. So if you go back to December, I was saying the same thing. You could easily paint a negative picture of the economy, set it in November, set it in September, October, so on. So what's changed in 2022? Wall Street has started selling. That's the only thing.
Yeah,
really.
That's the truth.
I mean, there has been a slight pivot by Jerome Powell and the Fed, and I'll get into that in great detail after the break. But outside of that, the January of 22 looks a lot like December of 21, except that the market's going down instead of up. And I'll tell you why right after this break.
I am also going to give you a little rundown of the incredible brilliance that has been representing us in the Davos virtual meeting, that being held by the Secretary of the Treasury, who was a former Fed chief. And I'm going to explain to you how much trouble we'd be in if we listened to her, but we won't. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we do have a caller, but before we do that, I would like to give out the trivia question in case you'd like to take a shot at it. So NASDAQ will turn 51 the first week in February. So for 51 years, it just, for those of you who don't know, the NASDAQ has entered Wednesday into correction territory, which means it's down at least 10%. That's a definition of a correction. How many corrections has the NASDAQ had in its almost 51 years of existence? And then, good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, Adam and Steve. What a brutal week.
Yes, no doubt.
NASDAQ suffered 1% or greater losses five straight days.
Yeah, well, four this week, though.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam, I remember in March 2020, towards the end, I remember you getting on the air and you said, I don't care if I'm wrong, I'm buying.
Right? Yep.
Kids.
It's true. I mean, it worked out, but it was a tough call.
It was brutal.
Yeah, that was really brutal. This is so far nothing like that, and I hope it doesn't turn into that personally. I don't see any catalyst for that yet. Now, are there things that could cause that? Sure, but are they here yet? I don't think so. I mean,
do you care how much Russia invades Ukraine?
I mean, that's a geopolitical event that would drive the market down for a few weeks, a month, yeah, 2 months. But is it really going to affect the U.S. economy? I'm uncertain about that. I don't think so.
I think it's a tempest in a teapot, whether or not it happens. But that's just me.
Yeah, I wish we would be a little bit more forceful and stand up for it. But anyways, where are you at, Chuck? What are you thinking?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at the RSI relative strength index of certain stocks like mm-hmm. Amazon, QQQ, and they're in the low to mid-20s like they were in March of 2020. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, you know, this is insane. I mean, Shopify went down 140 yesterday, Amazon down 180.
Yeah,
I'm thinking this is absolutely insanity. And that it's so oversold that we're due for a bounce. And I was listening to Tony Dwyer on CNBC the other day, and he said his short-term indicators that are saying that we're going to get a bounce. I just want to get a bounce so I can get out of these positions that I'm in.
Sure.
And I just did not foresee, you know, the market likes to keep everyone off sides. And usually when you get these cratering closes, you know, day after day after day, the market likes to throw everyone off sides and close at the high, and we haven't seen that yet. We're going to close at the high any day now. Maybe it'll be Wednesday when, you know, after the Fed. Maybe it'll be after Microsoft earnings. I'm not really sure, but we can't keep closing like this every day.
Yeah,
and especially after getting the head start we had on, was it Thursday, with the last hour and a half was so brutal?
Thursday was the worst, yeah.
And it up 200-300 points, green lights all day, all across the board, all day long until last hour, and then it turned on a dime and fell like a rock.
Intraday it went from up over 1% and it closed down over 1%. So that kind of selling into the close is not it's a bearish sign. But like Chuck said, it can also turn on a dime mm-hmm. when the big guys decide that they're ready to switch it around. It'll switch quick, and you won't be ready for it. I guarantee it. It'll be on the day that you decide to sell out or are very close to selling out.
At this point, and I wrote this morning, I'm not sure I even believe it, but my feeling this week was neither a buyer nor a seller be. Now, I'm going to have to look very carefully at early this week and see if I want to modify that a little bit.
Yeah, and Chuck, did you see the reaction to Netflix's earnings? I think the stock was down over 22% at one point just on Friday.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but I think, you know, that's the weakest of the FANG stocks anyway. I'm looking at Microsoft typically delivers a home run every time. I'm looking for that on Tuesday night, and then Apple on Thursday. They usually do really well, so maybe those will be the catalyst to turn it around. I'm not sure.
Yeah, the problem this quarter is that good news on earnings is usually met with a down market.
Has been so far,
This particular quarter. But if you look, Adam, we're just talking about this. You look at the earnings season so far. 72% beat rate on earnings per share and 67% on the revenues. They're comparing that to the most unbelievable quarters we've ever seen, or I compare it to history. I'll take those numbers every quarter.
It's still way above the long-term averages.
It is only 100 stocks so far, so we aren't really into it.
Small sample set, but so far 12% of companies are raising guidance and 3% have lowered, so that's a pretty big spread in a positive direction.
It's not setting up for a big old market crash, an elongated market crash. Here's another one of my personal theories that I, of course, cannot prove. All of the institutional guys, money managers, institutions and mutual funds, hedge funds, all that. They had such a good year going, they decided they were going to capitalize. So they bought the hell out of things in December, closed right up at the top, and they got rewarded with the biggest bonuses anybody's ever seen. Well, how are you going to do better next year? Well, you sell off all your stuff, drive the price down, wait a few days and buy it back, and then maybe you'll get another hit like that. Because they know darn well what we believe, and that we're not going to get a double-digit market in all likelihood this year. So you can create one by selling, and then buying when it's low. Now, that's too risky for my blood. But if you're a mutual fund manager or something like that, that's just part of the game. Set your computer and let it rip.
So, Chuck, I know you follow the markets pretty closely. I've got a question for you. This current setup reminds me a lot of 2016 when we were entering another rate hike cycle. Do you remember what the event was that turned that around? It happened on February 11th of 2016.
I don't remember, Adam. I'm not sure.
Fair enough. What was it? Jamie Dimon spent $26.6 million of his own money buying 500,000 shares of his own stock. And if you look at the timing of that share purchase, it is almost the exact low of the market. He went on every business channel, said what he had done, said it was ridiculous that the markets had sold off so hard. And it's like everybody listened and started buying immediately. And the market turned around and rallied pretty much until this, until now. I mean, well, with the coronavirus exception, but yeah, it's pretty crazy. So what will be the catalyst this time? I have no idea, but I guarantee you there will be something that does it.
Yep. And look at March of 9 where nothing happened.
If you look at the chart and you look at the relative strength index of the QQQ around 25, 26, historically, you know, it's a buy in the 30s and it's a sell in the 70s. You know, right now we're so oversold that something has to happen where we get a bounce, and it's either going to be Microsoft earnings, the Fed, whatever the Fed says Wednesday, or Apple's earnings, and then hopefully Ukraine is not a non-event. But you know, that's kind of wishful thinking. But something has to bounce, I would think, because I have too much Microsoft right now, and I'm trying to. I'm not worried about it because they always deliver a home run, but I'm too heavy in Microsoft right now.
Fair enough. Well, I'd rather be there than a lot of the other techs. So
yeah, true story. I like your thinking. I hope you're right that it is one of those three things, and we'll know next Saturday. So
we will indeed.
We'll definitely bring that up and see if it happens. We'll give you some kudos.
Yep. Right now, I'm unwilling to guess. And that's what it would be. But I'm not unwilling to play the game.
Oh, you know, one more thing. You guys follow sentiment in the, what is it, the AAII?
Yeah.
That I heard is like 48% bearish and 20% that's bullish.
Right.
I mean,
usually
That's good news.
I had that in my notes for the market wrap today, Chuck, and that's really good news. That negativity on that spread speaks very well for forward returns. If you look at historical data, when things get really bullish like that, that is when the money's made.
Yeah.
Did I say bullish? Bearish.
Bearish, sorry. Yeah, when the bullish sentiment goes way, way down, and everybody reads that stuff. They say, oh, goody, goody. If you've been around long enough, your eyes light up.
Yep.
Here we go. Loving it.
And Cramer's S&P oscillator is -7, you know, so that's very bullish, too.
Okay, good. I have another thing. I'll do it after we hang up, but there's another thing I want to mention about the Russell that I think you'll like as well. Very bullish indicator going forward.
Mm-hmm. Before you go, do you want to take a shot at the trivia question? How many corrections has NASDAQ had in its 51 years?
I'll say 25.
That's a really good guess, except you're too low. But thanks for putting a bracket on the bottom side. We appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks. Good to hear from you. Let's talk again next week, see what happens.
All right.
This is going to be a very interesting week, no matter what happens, in my opinion. Of course, we can pretty much say that in general because there's always something going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very complicated world out there, both domestically and internationally. The markets are so big and so much money floating around, you just never know. If you look at where we started and where we are now, go back any point in time, and if you're not betting on the American economy, you're nuts. All right, we'll pay some bills. Be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a friend on the line, and I have a pretty strong feeling that this might be an answer to a trivia question. And if history is any indicator, it might even be the right answer. So let's find out. Good morning, Pat.
Well, hello. How are you?
Wonderful. You?
Fine. It's freezing here.
I was going to ask you if you made it down to that level. Frost
oh,
on
yeah.
the pumpkin here and there, huh?
Oh, yeah. Lots of frost.
Goody, goody. It's January.
Yeah,
you got to expect it.
It is. Right. Exactly.
So what do you know for sure?
What do I know for sure?
Or even for maybe?
Nothing. I would like to guess. Yeah, I'd like to guess on your trivia question.
All right, shoot.
66.
That wasn't a guess. that was an answer.
Is that a correct answer?
That is a correct answer, including the one that started Wednesday. You are exactly right.
Wow.
And my point, you know, I always like to have a point. The point is,
yeah.
The NASDAQ closed on its first day ever, which was in February of 1971, February 8th to be exact. It closed at 100.81. 100.81.
Huh.
Here we are, as of yesterday, it closed at 13,768.92.
Wow. After a 12% drop.
Yes, after a 12% drop and after 65 other corrections and 37% of the original 65 corrections turned into bear markets where it was over 20% drop. 101,
wow.
13, 8, 7 and change. So if you're kind of a long-term thinker and you bet on the American market, you're pretty much going to be rewarded.
At least historically, that has been true.
Yep. And that's my point in a nutshell. Don't panic about little things like this. Right?
One thing I have learned is that I shouldn't knee-jerk onto a transaction. Just because something's happened today doesn't mean it won't correct in the next few days or weeks.
That's right. And I'll give you a little inside baseball. There is no tougher time to be a planner and money manager as we are than the times when it's being irrational and you can't explain it.
To the downside. Really easy when it's being irrational to the upside.
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But sometimes we look at each other and right before the show, we ask the question we always ask each other, what is causing this in particular? And if we can't answer that, then we adopt the sit and hold position because it's just what you said. Might be a few days, might be Monday for all we know, might be a few weeks. But come back, she will. 65 times it has, 66 will be no different.
Exactly, and there will be another one at 67 someday.
You got that right. You know, we say that the market averages one a year. And I don't think most people understand that that's absolutely true.
Yeah, but they don't happen every 12 months.
No.
They happen, sometimes it goes 3 years without one.
And then you get 65 out of 51 years. That means there's been some years when it happened rather frequently because there were years it didn't happen at all. You try to figure that one out. Do you know what econometrics is? The study of
econometrics? Yeah, I sort of do. I took an econometrics class in grad school.
You know what the conclusion after all these decades was about econometrics?
Now I'm going to hope you'll tell me.
It doesn't work. It's just that simple. There were guys, Michael Evans, I think, was probably the most famous one. They tried, and we must have been in school about the same time because I was raised on this stuff. And I kept trying to figure out what they were doing and why it didn't work. And finally, I just threw up my hands and says, it doesn't work because it's random.
Right, right. And we were in the ERISA model. And, man, I tell you what, that was some kind of arithmetic formula. So, anyhow.
Yep. Amazing, isn't it? But yep. History repeats itself. And
it
you
does.
Just repeated it. We've got your address. Watch your mail.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Have a good one. Uh-huh.
You too.
Bye.
Yeah.
That didn't hang up.
No, there it goes. We all learn if we get older and keep our eyes and ears open. I've been on a mission my whole life to learn everything there is to know, which, of course, nobody can do. But it certainly has earned me the grand title of geek.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I wear it proudly.
Congrats.
Pat's just as geeky as I am.
I wanted to get into a few other things from the market wrap, and one of them was that on Friday the S&P 500 closed down below its 200-day moving average. So if you're a chartist, that's an important line to cross.
It is.
But before you freak out, the last time this happened was June 6th of 2020. So it isn't something that is unprecedented in modern times or anything like that. This has happened within the last 2 years, and what happened after that? 395 days of trading back above its 200-day moving average in a bull market. So, and in fact, since 1985, every time that event has happened, forward returns have been positive 1 year out, and in some cases, really positive, in some cases, moderately positive. But for the last quite a while, a few decades. Every time this has happened, forward returns have been positive. So that's a somewhat encouraging sign right there. I also mentioned the Russell 2000.
Small cap index,
yeah,
for those of you playing the home game?
It's been interesting. Something interesting happened on that index that we don't see very often. But recently, the Russell has gone from a 52-week high to a 52-week low in just 3 months. That is a really, really quick sell-off.
Unprecedented.
Not unprecedented, though.
Ah, see?
Yes.
Unprecedented in the last 2 years.
So according to Bespoke Research, this has happened just three times in history, in 1980, 1987, and again in 2020. Mm-hmm. In 1980, the index immediately rallied and ended the next year 75.2% higher. In 1987, the index dropped an additional 20% and then rallied to end the year 11.3% higher. In 2020, during the COVID crash, the index dropped an additional 32.9%, but then rallied to end the year 49.1% higher.
Well, you know the old expression, don't try to catch a falling knife.
Right.
And the other one is get out of the way or the bounce might hit you in the chin on the way up.
Yep. And if you were feeling bad about your returns in your portfolio this week, which you probably were, there are ways to feel better, and sometimes you can point and laugh at somebody else. And this week, you would be pointing and laughing at your friend who's trading crypto. Or rather...
How's your old Bitcoin, boys and girls?
And holding crypto in this case, because that did not have a very good week. Ethereum, in particular, was off big time. That was down 25% this week and is now down almost 36% this year in the last 3 weeks. Bitcoin lost over 16% this week and is now down 25% on the year. So if you were feeling bad about yourself, just take a little comfort in knowing that someone else got it worse than you.
And now I'll be totally fair. A year ago, Bitcoin was 12.8, and it's now, what, 35 and change?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've held it for a year... The only reason to be sad is because you've lost a really bunch of your not really in cash gains, your paper gains, in other words.
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on to it. One or two things are going to happen because it's volatile. So it's not going to stay where it is for very long. It'll either go up or down. Probably it'll do quite a bit of each over the next few weeks.
There were a couple of safe havens this week. If you invested in the commodities index, mm-hmm. it was up about 1% this week, and it's been led higher by oil. Up almost 12%. Silver actually had a nice rally, 5.5% this week.
For those of us who are tired of waiting for silver, We did get a little comfort this week.
There were three international markets up this week, Brazil, China, and Hong Kong. Ironically, all three were the three that were down big last year. And then
I wouldn't have a nickel in those places for anything right now.
Fixed income actually took a pause in its recent decline and rose. Interest rates, 10-year treasury started the week at almost 1.8%, ended the week at 1.76%. Not a huge move, but enough to give a little bit of relief to the decline in fixed income lately.
So. Yeah, actually, I was looking over the overall declines in some portfolios, and I was trying to find some things that went down so much that in taxable accounts we could take some tax losses. Went up so much last year, it's hard to find. All right, don't go anywhere. One more break, and we'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
All right, you got anything else you want to dive into on the market?
No, I think we hit all the low lights today. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, I guess, that in the rearview mirror is okay.
Sorry, there was one thing. I mentioned sort of in the when I first started talking about this about what caused this. What really is the catalyst for the market going down right now? And the only thing that I can pin it on is the Fed. The Fed originally came out with a statement, no rate hikes until 2023. Why they did that so prematurely, I think, was a major miss by them. They should have said no rate hikes for the foreseeable future and left it open-ended.
Until conditions change.
Right,
until whatever
conditions
it is,
change, yep.
You start putting numbers like that out there and
yeah, it just
somebody's
no,
going to panic.
It makes no sense to call a year. That would be like me saying that the S&P is going to end the year at 5,000. I don't know that. Nobody knows that.
When's the next FOMC meeting, do you know?
It is this week, I believe.
I thought it was coming right up.
Yeah. No, it is. That's one of the things Chuck was talking about. It's the meeting.
If he comes out softening his stance because of the market, this is going to render him in the big pile of horrendous Fed chairman.
Yeah, he can't do that.
That goes on forever and ever.
No, and he's got to be firm, and because it's our opinion that this rate hike is about 8 months too late, maybe 6 to 8 months too late, and they should have been tapering early last year. We didn't need additional stimulus from the government. The $1.9 trillion that was passed last year, that was wasteful. All of these things. Last year, we should have really been on a tightening cycle starting last year. So what we're seeing now is overdue, and the market knows that, but they also love easy money and easy monetary policy. So they were riding that wave, and now it's time to pay the piper. And so the market is throwing a fit, and this is exactly what happened in 2015, 2016. And then one day it all turned around and it was in the rearview mirror. So if you ask me what is causing all this, it's absolutely the Fed and the threat, quote unquote, threat of rate hikes and more tapering. So,
and those of you who've been listening to me on the radio for almost 20 years now know that I am no fan of the Fed. I think it's 109 years too old. Never should have been started. But I can't help that part. So I look at their mission statement, and their concurrent goals are largely contradictory.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you know, I give the Fed chairman all just endless grief because they deserve it for taking the job, I guess. But I got to give them some credit. What they're trying to do is balance things that are never really in balance.
Oh yeah, it's a thankless job,
it
and
really
especially
is.
Right now, it's easy when everything's going well and we have higher interest rates, which hasn't happened in quite a while. But but right now, trying to balance the economy and hiking rates it's an impossible job.
It is,
and the market's going to punish you no matter what you do. So
now if we had a private sector company or job that had that same kind of thing and continually more or less failed at it and didn't have any foresight, the market would have rendered it obsolete already and be gone.
True.
Now, because this is the Fed, and I don't know if anybody knows this, but the real reason for the Fed, if you want to know the truth, is to have Congress have an out for all of their spending. They just put it over to the Fed.
Sure.
That's why they created it in the first place. And as I think his name is Griffin, the guy who wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island, as he says, the real purpose of the Fed is to fund liberal projects around the world on the backs of the American taxpayer. And what he means by that is your dollar used to be worth a dollar, and now it's worth about 3.5 cents. That's it. So, but you go to war with the army you've got, right? All right. Familiar with the term a word salad and maybe sleight of tongue and things like that.
Speaking of the Fed.
Well, now it's the Treasury, but it's indirectly the now old Fed chairman turned Treasury.
You're talking about Janet?
Yeah. Janet Yellen has pulled, and I'm not saying pulled off, but pulled one of the great sleight of tongue or word salad things I have ever seen. Excuse me. There are two rules for me when you deal with things like this. One, liberals are economically illiterate and stuck in the early part of the 20th century, pre-JFK. That's rule one. Rule two is whenever you hear the term Davos, be afraid. Be very afraid. Davos is the biggest collection of wacko lefties from around the world who are overly rich, self-important, power mongers who get together and smile at each other at Davos. Usually it's because of COVID. It's been a virtual meeting for the last couple of years, which has saved the planet, if you believe in global warming, so many hundreds of tons of carbon by not flying their individual airplanes over there. But I digress. So Yellen gave her little speech this week, and she came up with a term called modern supply-side economics.
Not familiar with that.
Now, let's relate that. I'll tell you exactly where it came from. We have talked quite a bit in the last year about a term called modern monetary theory. Now, you can throw all that into a bucket, and the label on the bucket would be called Keynesian economics. But how many people know and understand that John Maynard Keynes, as he got older and started testing his theories around the world, often contradicted himself because the evidence, the anecdotal evidence, didn't fit his theory? Did he change his theory? No, he still believes it. His theory is that the government is in absolute control of the economy. If you want the economy to grow, government spends more money, and if you want to shrink, they tax you more and have less money out there. The teachings of Milton Friedman at the University of Chicago laid waste to that many, many, many years ago, but there are still a minority of even PhD economists like Paul Krugman who still believe that Keynes is the man. Well, monetary theory is what Friedman developed, and he said inflation is, it always has been, and always will be, a monetary event. So if the Fed pushes money into the society, you're going to get inflation. Well, guess what's happened over the last 367 days? Inflation has happened. Why? Because the government's been pushing money out there without a corresponding increase in value, i.e. work. When you reward people for not working, you get more not working people. And they can't figure this out. There are 10.6 million people not working. There's 3 million or better people that were working before they started giving out all the money. They're still not back. And yet we have this 3.5% unemployment rate because people aren't looking for work because they don't have to, because the Fed's putting a bunch of money in. Okay, well, fast forward now to modern supply-side economics. Those of you in the old enough to remember category, remember Ronald Reagan and Laffer got together, and they developed a procedure, thought process, whatever you want to call it, called supply-side economics, which was immediately, of course, dubbed trickle-down economics, which is pretty much what it was, and the only difference was it worked, but they said it didn't. So they have made that term a real pariah among general people and Congress especially. So Modern supply-side economics to Janet Yellen. Smoke and mirrors. She says, with inflation running sky high and Biden's domestic agenda faltering on Capitol Hill, she's seeking to reframe the administration's economic agenda in a more expansive way. In other words, she says, and Biden backs her up, that the way out of this inflation is for government to throw trillions of dollars at the economy with no corresponding increase in value. Now, if anybody wants to think that over and see how ludicrous it is looking at the last 12 months, then you would have to conclude that this woman is very, very dangerous.
So the answer to the problem is to do more of what caused the problem.
Exactly.
Good thinking.
Yeah, and one way out of it, in my mind, or at least something that would help, would be the elimination of federal withholding tax. That would cause people to write checks to the government whenever April came along. And when you have to write a check and you find out what you're spending, you're not going to like what's going on. More on this next week. Thanks. It's been fun. We'll see you next week. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.